Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. None of us like problems. They are inconvenient, they are uncomfortable, they can often be painful. Most of us would like it best if problems just did not exist. The reality is, though, that they do exist, and we face more problems than we really want to. Whatever problems that we do have, we would like them to go away. We would like them to just disappear. All people face a serious problem when it comes to God. God has a set of rules by which all people must abide. In fact, in order for God to be pleased with any of us, those commands must all be kept perfectly, without fail. Anyone who breaks one of those laws, even one of the least of them, will be punished by God. And the punishment for such a violation is to spend all of eternity apart from the gracious presence of God. Now, sadly, most people within our world are not concerned with eternity. The weight of their earthly problems far transcends that of their eternal one. And just like with our earthly problems, we would like for our problems with God to just disappear. For He knows that we are not perfect, and that we will never be that way. He knows that no one will ever be able to keep His law holy in its entirety. So why, the world asks, doesn't God just loosen up and let us be? This is quite how we would like our earthly problems to go away as well. We would rather not have to have the surgery to remove a tumor. We would rather not have to take the medicine that is prescribed with a lot of strong side effects, but along with those will cure our disease. Whatever is owed to the bank or to the government, it would be easier if the debt would just go away. In reality, such disappearing acts are not the norm. Problems have to be dealt with. And oftentimes the solutions to our problems are not simple, but they will get the job done. And the problems then will not be problems anymore. And this is true with that eternal problem of ours as well. We would love it if God would just forget about the sins that everyone has done and just let us be with Him forever. We think that if the law was destroyed or abolished, that all would be well and right in the world. The problem, however, is not the law of God. The law is not the problem, for there is nothing wrong with the law of God. The law of God is His will. It is the way things are supposed to be. When Christ does return and ushers in the new age, the law of God will be perfectly kept. It will be the way that everything works properly. So truly, as we sung in our sermon hymn, the law of God is good. It is very good. And so the problem isn't with God's law. The problem is with us. We get in the way of God. We keep His will from being done anytime we sin against Him. Now, all of humanity, all throughout time, bears this guilt. We are hindrances to God. We should be the ones that are abolished. Instead, God has sent His Son to become a man, The Son of God has mercifully stepped into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. He has come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come to fulfill all that the Old Testament scriptures had promised. He has come to be the Messiah that the law and the prophets had laid out in their pages so long ago. And Jesus says so himself in the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. I have come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Because Jesus fulfills the Old Testament and does not do away with it, neither shall we. Anyone who takes God's word of the Old Testament lightly will be the least in Christ's reign. The Old Testament is not obsolete. It foretells all of what the Christ will be and has been. And so we cling to the Old Testament, unlike many of our other brothers and sisters in Christ. For without it, without the law and without the prophets, we would not have the complete and total picture of who Christ is and what he has done. Now, Jesus does say that one can be saved without the complete picture, without fully respecting the Word of God. But that is not the path that the believer in Christ is supposed to take. For if any Christian takes God's word lightly, he or she is very susceptible to falling then away from that Christ. And if the believer does fall away, they would no longer be least in the kingdom of heaven. They would not be in the kingdom at all. Now, these words of Jesus and the words of the rest of his sermon regarding the righteousness of his disciples have led many to view this precious sermon as a prescription for salvation. Keep the law of God in its entirety. I will show you all the ins and outs of the law, and you must do and keep them all. Possess righteousness that is greater than that of the Pharisees, and you too shall live. Do these things, and the kingdom of heaven will be yours. But such thinking about this Sermon on the Mount is in direct violation of Jesus' person and his work and all of the testimony of the New Testament. The very beginning of Jesus' great sermon has already revealed the entrance into the kingdom. It comes through humility. It is given to those who are poor in spirit. It is given. It is a gift. It is not earned. It cannot be earned. Instead, it is the given reality to those who are sinners, who know it, and who repent of it, who repent of themselves. What follows in the sermon, then, is what flows, what comes out of that reality. It is the fruit that comes forth from the tree. The righteousness of Christ Jesus' disciples is what flows out of salvation, not what leads to it. The law of God reveals what that righteousness then looks like for us. It shows us as Christians what we are called to do for the sake of the neighbor. God's law has not been canceled in Christ, has not been abolished in him. But it has been fulfilled. It has been fully filled. And it cannot be unfilled. The law has been perfectly kept by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done all that the law and all that the prophets had commanded of us. He has kept every dot and every iota perfectly, holy, without fail, and that his work cannot be undone, and that work cannot be outdone. Because Jesus has done all of that for you, for me, for all people, the responsibility then of our salvation is not ours. Because Jesus has died on the cross in our place, our salvation has been won by him, completely, fully, without lack. What we do then, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, cannot and does not add to that. It flows from that, as we overflow with the love and mercy shown to us by God the Father. Christ has indeed taught us the importance of the law of God. It is good, it is important, and it is still for us as Christians to use for the sake of our neighbor. Jesus has done all that the law has required for our sake. He has fulfilled the law and the prophets for us. And in so doing, Jesus has pleased the Father in heaven with his perfection. And that perfection of Christ was sealed by his blood as he died upon the cross. And that blood then is given to those who hear it and receive it in word and sacrament, to us who hear the gospel and receive Christ into ourselves, the very benefits of Jesus' crucifixion. And so when you hear the word of the gospel, the proclamation of the forgiveness of your sins, you receive the fulfillment of the Old Testament that Jesus has achieved. When you receive the body and blood in the bread and wine of his supper, you are given that fulfillment as your own. And now, when God looks at you, he sees his Son and all that he has fulfilled for you. And that cannot be undone. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.